8:55 Eastern Daylight Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
After another day of furious fighting in which each side scored local successes, the Battle of Northern France and Western Belgium is still undecided. The principal German success was the drive of a motorized column as far as the French Channel port of Boulogne, where Prime Minister Churchill said heavy fighting was going on. If this German force should manage to hold the port, it would, of course, be a serious blow to the Allies. But how strong the German column is, we don't know. Meanwhile, the Allied army in Belgium, holding its positions on the left wing along the Scheldt River, struck again with its right wing at the Germans around Cambrai and Valenciennes. The Germans admit the Allies gained some slight advantages, but say it was nothing decisive. And the French, coming up from the south, fought their way into the outskirts of Amiens. So it is still too early to be sure whether the Allied Channel Army will be cut off by the Germans or the German Channel Force cut off by the Allies. The Germans made another hard attack this morning to the east of the point where they broke through the French defenses a week ago, assaulting the works between Longuyon and the Moselle River, though apparently without result. In Paris, military spokesmen seem to think this is the beginning of an attempt to get in the rear of the real Maginot Line along the eastern frontier. But in Berlin, it is treated as rather a holding attack designed to prevent a French counteroffensive against the southern flank of the German bulge. German spokesmen are telling correspondents in Berlin that England, not Paris, is the main objective. But French military authorities think that Hitler will try to beat down all resistance in France before he goes all out in an attack on England. This seems more probable than the German story, which appears to be tied up with the propaganda offensive that is designed to persuade or terrorize the French into making a separate peace. Air activity was reported as less today on account of bad weather, but the Germans claimed they bombed over, though the British say the planes were beaten off before they ever reached the English shores, while the British Air Force, again attacking communications, blew up two German munition trains. The British government locked up Sir Oswald Mosley, leader of the British fascists, and Captain A.H.R. Ramsey, a member of Parliament of outspoken pro-fascist tendencies, besides some minor figures in the movement. It was emphasized that this was not done on account of their opinions, but for fear the fascist organization might be used for acts endangering the state. And now the British are beginning to worry about the possibility that the German attack on England, if and when it comes, will include a blow from the rear, beginning with the seizure of neutral Ireland. Major Attlee, speaking for the War Cabinet, told the House of Commons today that information about this situation had been exchanged with Premier de Valera, and Deputy Prime Minister Sean T. O'Kelly of IRA said in Dublin that the de Valera government would resist any foreign efforts to take advantage of or exploit the Irish people for the sake of some other country. He added that he hoped the national ideal of unification of Ireland would be achieved, but without any outside interference. And in Northern Ireland, which unlike IRA is at war, a home defense corps is being organized to deal with parachute troops. In Washington, the Senate passed the Navy bill and the War Department began letting contracts for gas masks and airplanes. But meanwhile, a speculation that has been whispered around Washington for some time and was alluded to by Senator Burns in his broadcast over this network last night finally came out in news dispatches. The possibility that if Hitler wins a smashing victory in France and breaks British power, whether by air bombing or by invasion, the British fleet might pass into his hands almost intact. It seems to have been suggested in London and Paris that he might demand surrender of the fleet as a ransom for sparing England the ultimate horrors of air war. And while this idea may doubtless have been put out partly for its effect on American opinion, responsible persons in Washington evidently regard it as a serious possibility. The German fleet is small, but the British fleet, which does not seem to have sustained serious losses so far, is about the size of our own. Naval strategists say that if it were transferred to other hands, it would be essential to defense of the Monroe Doctrine to bring our fleet back from Hawaii to Atlantic or Caribbean ports, and that the probable first consequence of that would be Japanese occupation of the Netherland Indies, from which we get most of our tin and rubber. Mr. Landon had a long talk with Secretary Hull today and said afterward that he believed the United States must participate in economic settlements in Europe after the war. He also said he thought opposition leaders ought to have full information bearing on foreign policy. And Mr. Hoover said that cooperation, not coalition, was entirely feasible.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.